the Lord's Prayer. Supposed to be here or not. And trying to discern it. It's a little different than the past couple of weeks. And I'm trying to discern that rascal. See if he's for us or he's for against us. And determine it. It's okay. I feel all right. It's an ease, but yet it's not what we've been experiencing. And I'm just wanting to hallow His name. And during the course of hallowing His name, of course, His protection will come forth. And if that guy's not supposed to be here, he'll go. Is that all right? Amen. I want you to stand, and I'll lead you in this, and we'll go through hallowing His name, and just we're just going to do the 10 particular points that are in the book of 1 Peter that we ministered about. I just want to hallow the name of Father. Hallelujah. Father, we come before You, and we just hallowed Your name. We hallowed Your name, Father. We hallowed Your name. Jesus said to pray in this manner, Thy Father, which art in heaven, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. And Father, we want to hallowed Your name today. We thank You, Father, that You chose us, that we're the elect of God, Father. We thank You, Father, from the foundations of the world, You chose every person that's here. You chose us. You knew us, and You chose us by Your great foreknowledge. And whom You did predestinate, Him You also did justify. And whom You justified, Him You also glorified. Father, we've been chosen to be conformed into an image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that that part of that takes place today. Father, we thank You, Father, that You've given us Your Spirit. You've given us Your Spirit. You've sanctified us by Your Spirit, Father. And I thank You, Father, for the Spirit of God that brings fruit from our lives. The Spirit of God that deposits gifts into our lives. The Spirit of God that leads us and guides us into all truth. The Spirit of God that reproves us and convicts us and rebukes us of sin. And the Spirit of God that seals us in the Holy Ghost. Where we're sealed. It's the earnest of our inheritance. Father, hallowed be Your name, Father. Hallowed and thank You for Your Spirit. And You've given us the ability to obey Jesus Christ. Father, I thank You for Jesus Christ. I thank You, Father, that You love the world so much that You gave us Your Son, Your only Son, Jesus. Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ. And You've given us the ability by the power of the Spirit and by the blood of the Lamb to obey Him, to obey Him. And His ways are not grievous. His ways are easy, Father. His ways are easy. Take My yoke, for My yoke is easy, He said to us. And Father, the way of the transgressor is hard. And Father, we just take now upon Him, upon us His yoke. And Father, we thank You that we're sprinkled by His blood. Father, I thank You for the blood of Jesus Christ that sprinkles upon us, Father, and cleanses us from all impurities. And that, Father, when You come, You're not looking for my sin. You're looking for the blood of Jesus. And Father, when You come, You want to see that blood. And Father, it's that blood that brings me into the most holy place. I have everything. I can appropriate everything by the blood of Jesus. Father, hallowed be Your name. And the accuser of the brethren is cast down today by the blood. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus right now upon this body. And Father, if there is a bad omen, if there's a bad spirit here, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus by the blood, and it will flee in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we cast it down by the blood of the Lamb. We thank You for the blood, Father. I thank You for Your grace, Father. Thank You, it's Your grace that saves us. Thank You for Your grace, for I'm saved by grace and not by my works. I can't work enough, Father, for it. It's by Your grace that I'm saved. And I thank You for Your peace that's without measure, Father. You give me so much peace. Not a warm feeling, but a victory. I'm in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm walking upon my circumstances, not in them. Father, I thank You that I put the enemy under my feet. I'm in peace. I control how I think. I'm not told how to think by the enemy, Father, but I'm controlled. I control my thinking. I cast my cares upon You, for You care for me. And I can have the God of peace upon me and with me. And I thank You for Your peace that's without measure. And I thank You for Your great mercy and not judgment. I thank You for Your mercy, Father. I thank You for Your great mercy. And Father, that You're merciful to me most of the time and not just. Father, I thank You for Your mercy. And I thank You, Father, You caused me to be born again. Father, I didn't wake up one day and decide I was going to get born again. Father, You caused it to happen. You caused it to happen. You worked the circumstances in my life. You worked situations in my life. You caused me to be born again so that I could see the kingdom of God, so that I could enter the kingdom of God. And Father, today I'm born of the Spirit and I'm born of the water and I'm entering into the kingdom of God. And I thank you, Father, that you've caused me to be born again. And I have an inheritance laid up in heaven for me, Father. I thank you for my inheritance that's in heaven, Father, that's laid up for me, that's imperishable and undefiled, and Father, that will not fade away. I am an eternal person, Father. This is just a period of my life. I am an eternal being. I am eternal. My inheritance is eternal. It will never fade away. Father, I thank you for my inheritance. And Father, I thank you for your protection. I thank you, Father, there's an angel standing right beside me today. There's an angel beside me today, Father. And he will not let anything happen to me, that he's going to help me, Father. He's going to be whispering in my ear. He's going to be directing me and leading me. For there are angels that are ministering spirits that are ministering to the heirs of salvation. And Father, I thank you for my salvation. I thank you, Father, that you've chosen me and you planted me and you've drawn me. You're the God that plants. And I thank you, Father, you've planted me right here in this fellowship to minister to this people. Now, Father, use me. I ask for the anointing of God. I want to be a vessel and a channel. Father, pour out of me what you pour in. Father, I ask for the Spirit of truth. Father, anything that's truth, I want to impart. That which is not truth, Father, we ask you to let it go out the trough and be discharged as waste. We ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated. Amen. I feel better. Is that all right? All right. Jim, I got a word for you. Let me just go ahead and give it to you while I'm looking at you. The Lord just really spoke to me that you've been through some tough places and that you've been up a lot of barriers and walls and you've just kind of bulldozed on through there and you've just walked and you know what God had for you to do and you've been doing these things and you've been pressing and pressing and pressing. The scripture that comes to me right now is the one where Jesus said that the kingdom of God is taken by violence. Violent men enter therein. And that's kind of the spirit that God's got upon you. It's a spirit that will go in. You're going after it and you're going in. And the Lord says you either are or you're about to. You either are up against a wall or you're about to hit a wall. And he just wanted to give you that word of encouragement right now. Don't bounce off and turn around and go back. Go through. And that's what the Lord wants you to do. You're at a wall. And you'll learn that when you go through walls, you come out changed. Okay. Okay. No, I didn't. I just kind of. That's where you're at, huh? Yeah, I knew there was something there, and I put it off twice, and I just looked at you, and I said, "Oh, let's do it." but that's where the Lord says that you're at. Matthew chapter 6. It's good to have you with us today. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. How many feels different now than you did 5 minutes ago? Amen. Yeah. Amen. Different, isn't it? Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Pray then any way you want to. Huh? Pray then after this manner or in this way. And it's important. This is what the Lord has been emphasizing upon us, is that if we're to pray, there's ways to pray that are effective. And James chapter 5, verse 16 tells us that it's the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. There is an effective prayer. And that's what we're after, right? We want our prayer times, the times that we get to spend with Father in prayer, we want them to be effective. We just don't want to be speaking into the wind and in the clouds. We want it to be effective. And so Jesus says, then pray in this way, pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We just did that. We hallowed the name of Father. We separated his Father, his name and what he does from what anybody else does. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen? That's how we're to pray. Now, he just before that, in the verse or two prior to that, he says, now I don't want you praying in vain repetitions. So he doesn't want us just to quote this. What this is an outline to prayer. When we're praying, this is the outline that he sets. This is what we're to pray about. We're to pray about hallowing the Father's name and what Father has done for us. And what I'm learning about this is as I hallow the Father's name every day, as I hallow His name, what I find out now is I'm reminding myself what Father has done for me. That I am born again. That I have the blood of Jesus on me today. That He did choose me from the foundations of the world. I am learning that I'm saved by grace and that it's His great mercy that goes with me. And I am protected by Him. I'm reminding of myself of this every day. And boy, when I get to that second part, Thy kingdom come. See, I'm ready now to understand that I can pray the kingdom to come because I understand that He chose me and that He wants me to pray the kingdom to come. And so that's what I want to talk about today. I'm not going to get into the actual praying, but I want to talk about this morning and what moments that we have left. I just want to share about what it is and what we're talking about when we're talking about praying, Thy kingdom come and Thy will be done. Now, what we're talking about is I want to break it in two basic thoughts, and then there'll be a many, many thoughts under the two basics. Number one, it's militant. We have got to come to the place of understanding that prayer is warfare. Say that back to me. Prayer is warfare. Say it. Prayer is warfare. When we're praying, we're coming militant. Now, what we have here is it says, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. In the actual Greek, the verbs come before the nouns, and it's come, kingdom of Thy. Be done, will of Thy. And it's like stomping and putting your foot down. Come, kingdom of Thy. Be done, will of Thy. And it's that force, and it's that velocity, and it's with that fervence that is written. And when we're praying for the kingdom to come, we're not asking it, we're demanding it. Do you see? Please come. That's not what it's about. It's militant. And you're wanting to set your rudder. You're wanting to set your tongue. You're wanting to set your life in the direction of the kingdom of God. Now, will you say that and stomp your foot with me? Will you stomp your foot with me and say, come, kingdom of God? And will you stomp your foot with me and say, be done, will of God? Will you do that? Let's do it. Come, kingdom of God. Be done, will of God. Now that's the way it's to be prayed. And that's the force and the fervent. It's militant and it's military. You're warring. How many realize you're in a war? He doesn't give you the armor of God for nothing. There's demons that want to destroy you. And destroy me and destroy this church and destroy this city. There's demons that want your children and your grandchildren. And the way we war with them is prayer. And one of the messages that we preached is Jesus got up early in the morning. And the first thing that He done every day is go and pray. And then He went and healed people. Then He went and He laid hands on people. He fought the battle. He warred first. And then went and got the harvest. Pray. Come, kingdom. It's militant. It's stomping your foot. It's setting my rudder, my tongue, for the kingdom and will of God in my authority realm. Now, every person has an authority realm. You have an authority realm that God has specifically put you over. For example, in my life. First of all, I'm in charge of my life. Amen? Secondly of all, I have a family. God has given me a family. I have a wife. I have two children. And in the spirit, I've got grandchildren. That's my authority realm. Also, I'm a member of a church. I'm a pastor of a church. There's an authority that I have here. I'm a pastor in a city. There's an authority that I have in this city. He's put me here. Did He choose me? Okay. Does He plant? Then I have to believe that He put me here. He's given me the authority of a pastor. So I have an authority that I can pray. I want that kingdom to come and His will to be done in all that I have authority over. That's what I'm here to do. I have an authority realm. The second thing, the number first thing, is to be militant and military. Prayer is military. This aspect of prayer is the military part, one of the military parts. But it begins the come kingdom and be done will. The second aspect is it establishes priorities in my life. Now, what scripturally does the Bible tell me to seek first? Can you give me chapter and verse? You need to. All right, some of you can. Matthew 6:33. Look at it right now. You're right there in it. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek, say it, first, the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things. All what things? Everything He's talked about before there. Food, clothing. Back up here in verses 19 through about 24, He talks about money. He talks about down here adding a cubit to your life. Worrying about how long you live won't get you to live longer. What'll get you to live longer is seeking first the kingdom of God. Worrying about money won't get you money. Seeking first the kingdom of God will bless you. Make your money stretch and be abundant. Seek you first the kingdom of God. Jesus rose early in the morning. Jesus said, the first thing, if I get my priority right, if I get my number one priority correct, that things will just happen. Amen? Now, I'm going to try to do this dignified, but I want to give an illustration on this. I'm not going too far. This is okay. We're not on television today, so. You love me, don't you? Okay. So far. I'll talk about David's diaper, you know. Okay. You guys ever button your shirt crooked? Huh? You ever done that? Well, if you don't get that first button right, and I'm not on the first, I'm on the second actually, but I've missed the first button that I was buttoning after. Did I? Yeah. Okay. And everything else lines up wrong. If I do this, my tie won't line up right. My shirt won't button right. I'll be lopsided all day long. You see me? I got to get that first priority right. That first thing has got to be established in my life. And what is the first thing in the realm of spirit? Seeking His kingdom. Seeking His kingdom. But the sad part that I find in talking to Christians is that nobody knows really what the kingdom of God is. We quote it. But what does He mean when He says, seek first the kingdom of God? There's a couple of definitions, and one specifically that I think is what we need to look at. So if you'll look with me in Romans chapter 14. I want you guys, every time you button your shirt up wrong now, you're thinking about the kingdom of God. And you ladies too, when you button something up. Romans 14. Verse 17. I knew that didn't look right. I was in 1 Corinthians. Verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in what? The Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Hear what He's saying. It's righteousness that is dictated by the Holy Spirit. It's Holy Spirit righteousness. It's peace that is dictated by the Holy Spirit. It's Holy Spirit peace. And it's joy that is dictated by the Holy Spirit. It is Holy Spirit joy. That's what the kingdom of God is. It's the lordship of Jesus Christ, because He has been made unto us, in 1 Corinthians in verse 30, righteousness. Amen? And I can pray, casting all my cares upon Him, for He cares for me, and have my mind and my peace upon Him. Give Him my worries, give Him my anxiousness, and I can have the peace of God, the peace of the Lord with me. And I can quote Nehemiah where it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So what we're after here is the Holy Spirit's total direction in our life. When we come into this realm of prayer, we're praying for righteousness, we're praying for peace, and we're praying for joy. All in are dictated by, are led by the Holy Spirit. How many knows there is a joy you can have in the world? But it's not Holy Spirit joy. What we're after is Holy Spirit joy. There is a form of godliness or a form of righteousness that's in the world. But that's not what we're talking about here. We want the righteousness that's in and of the Holy Spirit. There is a form of peace that's in the world. But that's not what we're after here. We want the kingdom of God. We want the peace of God that passes understanding. Now that's what we're after. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not what you eat and what we drink. It's not things. They come to Jesus in Luke 17, and they says, "When will the kingdom of God come?" And he says, "It's standing right here." The kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. It doesn't come in things. It's among you. It's in you. So that's what we're after. We're after the lordship of Jesus Christ in our life, which is Holy Spirit righteousness and Holy Spirit peace and Holy Spirit joy. And that's got to come first in our life. If that doesn't come first, folks, everything else will be unbuttoned. You're going to end up with something undone. Nothing will line up correct if you're not seeking first the kingdom of God, and you can take that and put it in the bank. It may seem like it's going all right for a period, but there's a day that's going to catch up with you. The Holy Spirit has to lead us to the kingdom of God, and that kingdom of God has to be first in our life. So when I pray in this manner, "Thy kingdom come and thy will be done," what I'm doing, number one, is I'm setting my rudder to warfare. I'm entering in war now with my prayer life. That's the first thing that I'm doing. I'm coming against my flesh. I'm coming against principalities and powers. I'm coming against my righteousness, and I'm seeking His righteousness. See that? That's what I'm after first. I'm coming into peace. And remember, I say this so often, but the peace of God is not a warm feeling. That's the worldly peace. The peace of God is having the enemy under your feet. We're instructed to put on the armor of God. And one of those things that we put on is the gospel, or is shodding our feet with the gospel of what? Peace. Why is it on your feet? You can stomp the enemy. Get above him. Walk over him. Peace, in biblical terms, is having the enemies under your feet. You being above your circumstances. I can have the peace of God. Paul says to fight the good fight. Why is it a good fight? Because we win. Now listen, you guys, I know you guys can relate to me. Have you ever gotten in a fight? And when you were younger, you know what I mean. And boy, you was laying in the dust and the dirt, and your nose is bleeding,
and you got dirt running down your nose, mixed with mud and everything else.
And your eyes are puffy, and your lips are swollen and bleeding on the inside, and you said that was a good fight. Those aren't good. Another guy walks off laughing at you and there's not a scratch on him. Do you say, "Boy, that was a good fight"? Those aren't good fights, are they? It's a good fight of faith because we win. And the way we win is in prayer. I'm wanting us to grasp this. This is what the Lord is really showing me. There's no power without prayer. A good fight of faith is a fight where we win. So when I pray this, I'm going into warfare. And I'm warring with my flesh. I'm warring with my mentalities. I'm wanting the lordship of Jesus Christ to come in and rule and reign with righteousness and peace and joy. I'm warring against principalities and strongholds in high places. I'm not wrestling with flesh and blood. I'm coming against them now, and I'm coming into warfare. And I'm fighting the good fight. I'm putting on the armor of God, and I'm going to be victorious. I am more than a conqueror in this life. And that's where you go into it. That's where I'm emphasizing that, because it's a time of war. Now, the second thing that I do in this area of prayer is I establish my priorities. I begin to seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, His peace, and His joy. I set my rudder. I will be righteous. I will walk in peace, and I will be a joyful person. Come, thy kingdom. Be done, thy will. And that's what we're after in this area of prayer. Now I got to get this. Let's see if we need to turn back to it. I'll quote it and then I'll say this. We say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, where do I pray, or where do I warfare, where do I establish my priorities that His kingdom will come to? Who said it? Quote the scripture. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." Now that, we got to get this in us, folks. We're not going to the kingdom. We're bringing the kingdom to us. Did Jesus see the kingdom coming to earth? Is that what he prayed? Is that what I should pray? I need to pray that Jesus, that the kingdom of God would come to earth and that the will of God would be done on the earth. That's what I'm praying for. Now, the word earth there is not world. It's not cosmos. It's not the system and the arrangements of things. I pray against those most of the time. That's Babylon. I'm praying against those. Those are principalities and powers and strongholds. What I'm praying is His kingdom would come, His righteousness and His peace and His joy will be done on the earth. That's what I'm after. That's the goal. The word earth there is G-E. And it means this. It means soil, our region, our part of the globe. So when Jesus is saying to us to pray that thy kingdom come on earth, what he's saying there is for your region, you pray the kingdom of God. The area that you have authority in, you pray that the kingdom of God be there and be established in it, that righteousness, peace, and joy will be established in the region that you have authority over. Roger, you have authority in your life, in your family, in your job, okay? And you're deacon in the church, you have authority here, okay? And you're a deacon in the city, so you have authority in the city. It's in those realms then that you begin to pray His righteousness and His peace and His joy come to. The Lordship of Jesus Christ. And what we have authority over, the region that He's given to us, the part of the globe that He's given to us, then we pray the kingdom of God to that area. This must be settled. Now, the church is still in a stupor, in a mentality. And I'm not, please don't misunderstand what I'm trying to do here. I am not touching God's anointed. I'm not talking about the people of God. I am saying this, that we have got to come into a mentality, not of escaping, but in bringing the kingdom of God here and overcoming. The church has got to enter into a place of understanding that He wants the kingdom here. The kingdom of God is to come to earth, not us go to the kingdom. John 17:15 says, I do not ask thee to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil of the world. And that's a part of the prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What about the rapture? What about it? I know there will be a rapture. I know that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, there is the catching away of the church. I know that. That's there. I'm not going to argue about the rapture. But I also know that in John 6, says it's going to be the last day. Okay? And the last day won't come until the first day comes. And the day that I'm living in now is the day that I've got to be concerned about and pray this kingdom down in. And in my area, in my globe, in my area, in my region, then it's my responsibility to bring the kingdom. Now, that needs to be settled in our hearts. The purpose of the church is to war with the gates of hell. Will you agree with that? Matthew 16:18 says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not what? Prevail against it. The purpose of the church is to prevail against the gates of hell. Listen, there is no other entity ever created or will ever be created that will destroy hell but the church. None. Prayer is war. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's destroying hell. It's destroying gates. Every city has gates. Spiritual gates. And the church is supposed to sit at the gate. Not demons of hell. The church is supposed to determine what comes in and what goes out of the city. The church is supposed to determine what comes in. And pornography should not be in. Drug abuse should not be in. Alcoholism should not be in. And the church is supposed to stand against hell and prevail against it. That's what it's created for. Jesus says, I'll build my church, and this is what I'll build it for, so the gates of hell shall not prevail. And so when I pray for my region. And I turn to the east, and to the west, and to the north, and to the south. And I pray the kingdom of God there.
And I tell those gates of hell, they will open up and they will give up the people of God. You're a fanatic. Yeah, right, I am a fanatic. Amen. So when we pray on earth, we must deliver and develop the mind of Christ. Jesus prayed this way. I pray this way. If I'm not praying this way, I'm not praying in accordance to His will. He said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." Amen. Psalms 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and those that dwell in it." That is biblical mentality, folk. That is the way Jesus said to pray. Pray, "Thy kingdom come." Anything that does not align with His kingdom and His will is an intruder in my life, my family, my church, my city, and my region. And is an enemy. I'll say it again. Anything that does not align with His kingdom and His will is an intruder in my life. You'll agree with that. Is an intruder in my family. Is an intruder in our church. Is an intruder in our city. In our region. And it's an enemy. And it must be destroyed. Now I'm not talking about people. I'm not talking about M16s and MK14s and all this stuff. I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about coming against spiritual gates. I'm talking about wrestling and fighting and bringing down principalities and powers. The devil is my adversary, an intruder in my life, an intruder in my home, an intruder in my church, and an intruder in our city, in my region. And I tell him so every day. And I tell him every day, "You will not rule me." I set my rudder, I set my tongue, and I set my purpose for that day. And I tell you, "You will not rule me. You will not rule my home. You will not rule my church. You will not rule my city. You will not rule my region." You see, the things that we battle with is the devil. He's our adversary, right? We wrestle with our flesh. Romans chapter 8 says that the carnal mind is enmity to who? God. Okay? The carnal mind is enmity to God, and the devil is our adversary. We're wrestling with those two individuals. And one entices the other. The devil entices the flesh. And the flesh entices the devil. And those are the two things that we're warring with. Now, what does this aspect of prayer cover? Let me say this real quick and I'm closing it up. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done" in my number one life. I have to have righteousness in my life. The effectual or the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now again, I understand I am not righteous in Delbert, but the Lord Jesus does not want me going out and committing adultery. Okay? Even though I'm in righteousness with Him, I want my prayer to be effective. I need to have righteousness in my life. So it's at this point in my life, it's at this time in my life when I confess my sins to Him. I want righteousness. I say, "Father, I'm not righteous in this area. I know I'm not pleasing to You in this area. Please forgive me." And I want to set my tongue, my rudder, my life, my course to righteousness in You. I want to be a righteous person. I want to be a person of peace. I want to have peace in my soul. Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to look at all of this more and in depth next time. But in Philippians chapter 4, it tells us that with prayer and supplications and thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then the God of peace and the peace of God that passes or surpasses understanding will be with you. And then he goes on to say there, and he says, "Think on these things, that's whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are of a good report. Think on these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Peace comes in your mind. Peace has to do with thinking. I am seated where? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Am I seated in my circumstances? No, where am I seated? in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I am above my circumstance. I cast my burdens upon Him because He cares for me. I don't war with that stuff. I give it to the Lord. It'll drive me nuts. And it drives you nuts, doesn't it? And so we give it to Him in everything. How many things? Everything with prayer, supplications, and thanksgivings. Make your request be made known unto God. I give it to Him. I become victorious. You see, the enemy wants my soul. What is my soul? My mind, my emotions, my intellect, my thinking, my attitudes. If he can get them, he's got victory over me. If he can get the way I think, the way I act, my attitudes, my emotions, he's got victory in my life. But if I only think about whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are of a good report, he has no victory in me. He cannot have my soul if I give it to the Father. And every day, I give it to him. And I have peace in my life. We'll talk about that more. Third thing is he wants joy in my life. Nehemiah says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. If he gets my joy, he's got my strength. If my flesh gets my joy, the flesh has got my strength. If the devil's got my joy, the devil's got my strength. I want to have the strength of God. I want the strength of the Holy Ghost. I want his gifts functioning in me. His power functioning in me. His fruits coming out of me. Amen? So that's what we're after here. That's the way I pray. When we say, thy kingdom come, the first thing is I pray for my life in those dimensions. Second thing's for my family, the same dimensions. I pray for my wife that way every day. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Pray that what she that she be a righteous. I thank God that she's a righteous person. I pray that she continues to be a righteous person. Is that okay? I pray that the peace of God will be upon her, that the worries of the world and the worries of the ministry won't boggle her mind down and the enemy get its victory there. But on whatsoever things are good and just and pure and holy, and that she'll, with everything in prayer and supplication, just cast it upon the Lord. I pray that peace of God will, and I pray for her joy. Judy is a really funny person when you get to know her. She is really funny. She makes you laugh. She's all the time making these quirks and these funny things. She's funny. She has a lot of joy. But for the past couple of years, she hadn't had a lot of joy. And I'm praying now every day, God, give her joy. In the last couple of days, she's starting to be funny again. It's funny. I want her to have joy because I want her to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You see, I want her to have joy. So I pray for that for her. I pray that for my son. Every day for my son, I pray these things upon him. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. He'll be a righteous young man. That his wife will be righteous. That she's raised in a righteous home. And I bless them. I bless them with children. I bless their wombs. I bless his loins. I bless them. I pray that for my daughter. Not her loins, but her womb. And I bless them. I pray for my grandchildren that I don't have. I pray my home will be a home of righteousness and peace and joy. And when you come into my home, you need to experience that. You need to feel God there. You need to feel that's a place of righteousness. That's a place of peace. And that's a place of happiness and joy. I pray for my mother and my daddy in that aspect. And my whole family. This is what I'm praying for. My relatives. Anybody that the Lord lays on my heart that's in that position in my family. Then I pray for them there. Then the third thing I hear I pray for is my church. I pray for my church. Righteousness, peace, and joy in this church. Do we want to have a righteous church? See, I want you to be righteous people because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, of a righteous church, availeth much. We need to be righteous people. And I ask God to deal with you righteously, not justly, but mercifully, but get you to do righteous things. And I pray for you like that, and you'll have peace and you'll have joy. I pray for my pastor in Griffin every day. I want you to pray for me every day. I do. I ask you. I'm not afraid to pray for me every day. Pray that I'll be righteous, that I'll have peace, and that I'll have joy. Pray for me. I pray for this leadership every day. I call them by names. I'll go through their whole homes, their whole families, whether they're married or whether they're not, whether they live here or whether they don't. I go through their names and I call their children by name and say, my goodness, how long do you pray? A long time. I pray for the body members as God quickens you to me. I pray for you. I pray for you in four areas. Your faithfulness and your family. You think you need to be faithful to your family? I pray for your faithfulness in your giving. I pray for your faithfulness in the body gatherings. And I pray for you being faithful to the harvest. It's this time of praying for the harvest that I bring in Isaiah 43, 5 and 8. Pray to the east, the west, the north, and the south. Quote Matthew 9, 37 through 38, where it talks about pray unto the Lord, beseech the Lord of the harvest, that he'll send laborers into the harvest field. This is the things we're going to be talking about more specifically next time. I got a map. I had Linda to fix it up for me. And it's about a 35-mile radius around Lafayette. And I take this map and I use it. And I walk to my east window and I look out my east window. And I say, Noble, you will open up your gates and let the King of Glory come in. Noble, I tell you that you will give up the people of God. I say that to Noble. I say that to Catlett. I say that to Tunnel Hill. I say that to Rocky Face. I say that to Mount Vernon. I say that to Calhoun. I say that to Sugar Valley. I say that to Dalton. I say that to Varnell. And I work all the way around, east, west, north, and south. And I talk to those gates. And I come against them. And I tell them to give up the people of God. Faithful to the harvest. Send the harvesters in. I got one of these for everybody, by the way, next time we come together. I got one of these for you. Pray for our region. I pray for this city. Pray for this nation. I pray for our president. Peter said, pray for the king. Every day I pray for the wisdom of God on his life. Every day I pray that he'll have upon his life the joy of the Lord. And every day I pray that he'll have protection. That's a lot of time praying, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. But I really believe that if this church will set its mind and begin to agree together in praying in this way, we're going to see some mighty things happen. Say, Pastor, why do we have to pray that way? Well, if one can set 1,000 to flight, two can set 10,000 to flight. If we can get agreement in our prayer lives, folks, I'm telling you, we have not yet seen what God will do. Amen? And these are just some things that I just want to share with you. These are things that the Lord is showing me and opening to me for the past several weeks, maybe a couple months. I don't know. I've just given my life to prayer. Scripture that's in Acts chapter 6 is coming to me right now. And it says there, when they had the widows, and they elected, they said, choose out from among you 7 men full of wisdom and the Holy Ghost to put over these things, these feeding of the widows, so that we can give ourselves to, number one, prayer and the Word. Prayer and the Word. But notice what it says, that we can give ourselves to. You give yourself to prayer. Prayer is not something I've learned that just happened in your life. Prayer is something that you discipline your life to do. Every day I discipline my life to pray. Is this the first thing that I do? Because if I don't do it first, I won't do it. And so I set my alarm clock an hour earlier, and I at least spend an hour with Father every morning. Now, I'm not trying to put this on you, and I say this every time, and I really don't want you to think that I am. I'm just sharing with you where I'm at right now. It's changing my life. It's changing my life. I'm thinking differently. I'm worrying. I don't worry about sermons. I just pray. And I share what I feel God wants me to say. I love it. Sharing with Jeff yesterday, we was talking about prayer. And it's just a wonderful time. Initially, the first 3 weeks, I had to discipline myself, 21 days, to get up and pray, make myself do it. But now, sometimes I'll get up an hour before that clock alarm goes off, just to go pray. I love to pray now. I've given my life to it. I'm now a prayer warrior. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. The last thing is the glory. When Moses come down off the mount spending time with God, what did he have? The glory of God. And that's how I want to get up from my prayer time, coming down from my mountain of prayer. I want to walk into the world with the glory of God on me. I want to come before you people with the glory of God. I don't care anymore about being Delbert. I want Delbert to go, bury him, whatever. But I want you to see the glory of God. And I spend time with Father so that can be possible. Let's stand. I just rattle on and rattle on and rattle on. Listen, guy. Even though amens to that, that's truth. That's the truth, and it's good truth. How many want the kingdom to come? How many want his will to be done? Do you believe that every day God has a purpose for you? Do you believe that Psalms 139 says that someplace, somewhere, he wants you to go and minister? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Would you join hands and cross the aisles and just no divisions amongst us as we dismiss. We're not no time tonight, so I took a few extra minutes today. No service tonight, remember.